With me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 3. We're looking at a very familiar passage, but I'm looking at it from another point of view. I want us to look at the temptation of Eve and Adam, but from the point of view of the lies that Satan is still telling. You remember some time ago I preached a series of messages on Satan's lies, and I touched on this briefly, but I got to working through the idea God kept putting on my mind. I got to working through, and I started with five lies that Satan likes to tell, and then I ended up with one more, so I have now six, and on my way here, as I was thinking, God gave me a seventh. So there's quite a number of lies in this little text, but I want us to look at it because these are the same lies that Satan's trying to use to challenge the church and the witness of Jesus Christ. So read with me, if you will, those first few verses. We'll go down through verse 9. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day that you eat, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of the fruit and ate, and she gave it also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." Pray with me, please. Holy Father, open our minds and understanding so that we might recognize not only the enemy, but how he continues to work with lies and falsehood in our day. For it's in the name of Christ we pray it. And amen. I want you to recognize that the first thing Satan is trying to lie about is that God is not good. For that matter, that's what started me on this message. I was glossing over a write-up on a couple of important challenges to God that was written by the two popular atheists of our day. But one of those two books is titled, "God is Not Good." And he tries to use all of the contradictions and so forth and injustices of the ways of God and that kind of a thing. Of course, he was using the moral standard of man and trying to judge God. But notice, he's challenging it from the point of view, "Hath God said?" And then he says the opposite. And he's trying to make it seem like, who do you trust? Is God truthful or is Satan truthful? And remember, there is no history with either one of them yet. Mankind is just now discovering what Satan is saying and what God is saying. And so I don't know how you address the temptation. It's just that neither Adam or Eve had been through any of this. Although I have to be honest and say, in all fairness to Eve, God had spoken directly to Adam, and Adam apparently is the one who conveyed the word to his wife. So how clearly Adam had conveyed it, I do not know. But it implies there may have been some difference of understanding. But what Satan is doing here is challenging the words of God. I don't know how many times recently I've talked to people who claim that do not believe in the Bible, and they want to go on and say that there's too many contradictions in it, and that God cannot be what he claims to be because he contradicts himself through the scripture. And then in the book that I just referred to, he's talking about God is not good. He talks about all of the wars over religion that has been fought through the history of time and that kind of a thing. And he talks about some of the judgment and justice upon the people. And one of the common things that they all want to refer to is that God is not good because here he killed off a whole nation of people in Cana and then gave that land to the Jews. Well, one of the things that I've written it in the flyleaf of my Bible so that I can refer to it from time to time, in Genesis 15 and verse 16, the Bible says, "The iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete." So God told Abraham how long Israel must wait before God's promise of the land of Palestine would be fulfilled. I mean, why did God wait 400 years before he delivered Israel out of Egypt and bring them over into the land he had promised them? It's because God was going to judge the people in the land of Canaan for their wickedness, but even toward all of these ungodly people, the wicked people, God still had patience to allow them time to repent. And so, as he says, their time was not yet fulfilled. God was waiting to the last moment when he could tolerate no more of their iniquity. And if you know anything about the Baal worship of the Old Testament, it was an ungodly, immoral, purely human religion, and just to satisfy the lusts of men and women. And so they are trying to say that God is not good because he killed off all those people. Well, God brought judgment on wickedness, just like he still does, and no one takes into account. Of course, an atheist is not going to take into account a man's sin anyway. He don't think we sin. You know, the atheists believe that we're the highest mind, and so we decide for ourselves what is good and what is not, that kind of thing. So the lie of Satan is that God is not really a good God. Most of the time they're using scriptures and twisting it to mean something different, but many times they're just totally ignorant and using human argument. But the same context reveals that the Bible is not good, because he goes on and tells Eve in verse 4, "Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die,'" which is a contradiction of what God has said already. And so he's trying to tell us that the word of God cannot be trusted, and he's trying to make her understand from human point of view that if she followed God's instructions, she would be in trouble. If she followed Satan's, then everything would be all right. Well, I want you to know that God's word is true, and we need to be very careful to obey all that God has said. But he's saying, "You shall not surely die." And remember, they were the first ones to experience death. For that matter, one of the arguments I have read concerning the Bible is not good, is that God, and that God is not good, is that God prophesied that man would die if he ate of the fruit, and of the fruit of the tree, and Adam lived 600 and some years after that, saying he didn't die. Well, the first context is that God was talking about spiritual death, his relationship with God failed immediately, and he was cast out of the garden. You remember the Garden of Eden. But secondly, death entered into the human race with Adam. Notice that when Adam was cast out of the Garden of Eden, look at verse 22, Then the Lord God says, Behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put his hand on the and take of the tree of life and eat and live forever. You remember, do you realize now why God cast them out of the Garden of Eden? He did not want them to live forever in their sinful condition. In other words, if they had not committed sin, they could have lived forever in the Garden of Eden. I get excited when I talk about that because it means that when God restores us to his original purpose at the second coming of Christ, we will be living in Garden of Eden conditions where God will be restoring his original purpose. You follow me? Satan is trying to say here that the Bible cannot be trusted either. Well, if you can't trust God and he wrote the Bible, then you can't trust what he wrote. And how they keep saying there's contradictions in it, when they raise that question, I ask them to show me one. Because most of the time, they don't even have any idea what they're talking about. They've heard that. That's a good excuse. I've just finished reading a book on answers to doctrinal questions that Muslims raise. And, of course, one of the largest ones is that our Bible cannot be trusted. It has been rewritten so many times that it's changed in almost every important part. That's their argument. Only I kept reading and discovered how many times the Quran has been rewritten and edited by, for that matter, the difference between the Sunnis and what's the other group that's popular today? Shiites. There's actually 7 or 8 different kinds of Muslims, different denominations of the Muslim faith. But those two are fighting each other over who believes the right version of the Quran. They both claim to worship the Quran and so forth, but one of them is claiming that the only one who has the right to interpret Scripture are those who are direct descendants of Muhammad. The other group thinks that God has called others, or their God has called others to lead, and so forth. And there's been several places, not only where imams or their speakers or pastors, as it were, have changed the Scriptures according to circumstances. Muhammad himself did that. We have actual written proof of his position on marriage that changed later on when he found out he'd taken a young girl who was only 9 years old to wife, and it raised serious questions. So he rewrote a part of what he had already written to justify himself for having a 9-year-old wife. You understand where I'm coming from. It's an interesting study. A Christian has challenged all of their arguments and many of their doctrines so that you, and it's documented, so that you can actually find out for yourself how many times the Scriptures for the Muslims have been changed through the generations of time. But they're claiming that because there's so many translations of Scripture in our day, they're claiming that our Scriptures have been changed too. And which one do you believe? That's what they'll say to you. Which version do you believe? I've asked the only man I've talked to about that. I've asked him to actually read several of the versions. And even though the language may be updated, the meaning will be the same. For that matter, remember I gave you an example. One of the researchers has says there is less than 0.1% of the Bible that has had even interpretation problems, okay, through the years. When you read the Scriptures all the way through, there's even going to be a small part. And most of the contradictions or problems with the Scriptures we have it is because of spelling issues, and some of that is because of even our language changing through the years. I have a Collins printed Bible from England. It's a publisher from Britain, and it still uses the word shoe, S-H-E-W, instead of show, S-H-O-W. You follow me? Several old English spellings are still used in the old Collins version. It doesn't change the meaning at all. It's just the way that we spell the word today as compared to the way it used to be. But if no one actually sits down and looks at the scripture, he might be easily convinced that it's been changed through the years and so forth, simply because, as I've said, we have so many different translations. I want you to recognize that God's word is true and we can trust it without a problem. There is no actual contradictions in the scripture, and neither can they find one. But the modern theories, that is the liberalism of and the high criticism that got into our schools for a while until we began to rebel and caused our schools to elect new presidents and new people to lead, and they've gone back to the conservative point of view. But one of the things that they're saying, there's one group who says the Word of God is, the Bible itself is not the Word of God, but the Word of God is in it. So you have to search through the Bible and find the actual words of God. Well, if you do that, you end up being the editor of the Scripture, and you choose what you want to believe and leave out what you don't want to believe. There's another point of view. It says that the Bible will become the Word of God, but it is not now. I've never understood that argument, so I don't know how it's going to become the Word of God. Will it be changed, through the years? It don't make sense to me. But that's two of the lies that Satan's trying to continue to say in our day. God is not good, and the Bible is not good. And then they go on to say, in the same context, when he says their eyes will be open, you can know secret truths. A few years ago, what was called the New Age movement began to be popular in America. And the most important thing about the New Age movement was, first of all, there's no absolute right or wrong. And you have no right to tell me that I'm wrong in something. Just because it's wrong for you don't mean it's wrong for me. Or just because it's right to you don't mean it's right to me. That kind of senseless argument is still being espoused in our day. And say, what's one of the popular books that I read some years ago? I'm Okay, You're Okay. You remember that title? Some years ago, the book on psychology, but it was from this point of view that you don't have the right to condemn somebody else's conduct. I'm okay, you're okay. We just learn to get along. In my truth and your truth, we should just agree that what's right for you doesn't necessarily mean it's right for me, that kind of thing. Well, this is popular thought that is still being taught by Satan, like he did for Adam and Eve. And what they're implying is there is secret knowledge that you can have that is more important than the Word of God. Now, we recognize in Scripture, especially in the book of Revelations, a group referred to as the Gnostics, G-N-O-S-T-I-C-S, Gnostics. It's an English spelling of a Greek word that literally means to know all. Some of you grew up hearing that phrase, so-and-so is a know-it-all. That's the kind of, and it's not an actual name for the group. It's a tag that's kind of been pinned on as they talked about the group. But the idea being, they had secret knowledge that's not in the Bible. I remember a few years ago, a young man, he was in his early 20s, came to my office and confronted me knowing that I was responsible for a number of churches, and so he wanted me to help share his gospel to all of our churches. And he, in effect, has denied Scripture and says there is a later prophet, a part of the idea that comes from Muslimism, as that faith, as well as one reference in the Bible is talking about a later prophet, but it's talking about Jesus and not the other prophets of the Old Testament. But nonetheless, he argued with me, and everything he stated, I shared the Scripture in response. I didn't argue, I just read Scripture. And he was there over 2 hours trying to argue with me until he finally got angry at me. He says, "You believe everything in the Bible." I said, "Yes, sir." I really do. But he was trying his best to convince me that there was a later... The fact is, he had a couple of pictures of this prophet he was talking about in a meeting with Billy Graham, and tried to say that Billy Graham sanctioned what this man was teaching rather than what the Bible says. I want you to know that the lie of Satan is still revealed to us through magic and special ceremonies and that kind of thing. But what about witchcraft? It's considered a religion, and it's a different understanding of what is right and wrong, or as they call it, white witches and black witches, okay? I'm not talking about skin color. I'm talking about whether or not it's supposed to be good or evil. Or what about those who, not just like witches, but New Age, I've already talked about, or what is beginning to be popular again in our day is spiritism. All kinds of isms that is talking about a spiritual life separate from the Bible and from the church. For that matter, I've talked to some people, even here in St. Mary's, that consider themselves spiritual persons, but they don't accept the Bible, don't go to church, are not even believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're spiritualists, quote. And there's a variety of those kinds of people popular here in America. I want you to think that there's a long list of those, and that's not the point. What I'm wanting you to recognize is Satan's trying to lie to us and tell us that we can have secret knowledge that is more important and higher in quality than what's in the Bible itself. Or if you go on and look in the same context, he's saying that you can be like God. Now, there is a sense in which that was true, and God acknowledges that. But what Satan is doing as he talks about this is saying that you can be God, or be at the very least a God. Now, the Bible doesn't say we were gods ourselves, but rather that you can be like God in certain knowledge. That is, your eyes will be open, and there's things about what is good and evil, and I'll deal with that in a moment, that you can know about. But this is trying to say to us that you can be a God. There's a popular thought coming out of the New Age movement now that's being circulated in our schools. We're all gods. Everything is God. You follow me? Even the trees are gods. And, you know, what did they used to call them? Tree huggers? people that are believing that God is in things. And I laugh when they call it New Age, because I know some of our pagan culture, that when a rock fell down, I remember there's a curve you go down in, I believe it's Harlan County, Kentucky. There's a curve. It's called a dead man's curve. Some of you have been there. Well, the story behind that is that a man fell off that cliff and was killed, of course. But the story is told that it was something God made to happen to him. And there's various translations as to why he fell off that hill. But there's other similar stories that we know about. I'm just trying to help you to understand that God is really saying to us, we're not gods and never shall be. For that matter, the Lord says his thoughts are higher than our thoughts and greater than our thoughts and his ways. You remember that passage of Scripture? We'll never become gods ourselves. We'll always be the children of God, but that is because we've been adopted into his family, not because, like Christ Jesus, we were born to him natural and that we inherit all of his character. You follow me? We're still struggling in a human body that has not yet been redeemed. We are Christians and believers in Christ, but this old body won't be changed until the coming of the Lord and the resurrection at the end. So I want you to recognize Satan's trying to say you don't have to listen to God. You don't have to listen to the Word of God. You're a God yourself. And the application of that is in the very next lie, he tells us. You can decide what's good and what's bad. See, if you're a God, you don't have to listen to what God says. You don't have to listen to his moral standard. You can decide what's good or bad. That's the thing that is circulating right now. When my kids come home from high school trying to say to me, Dad, just because it's right for you don't mean it's right for me. Just because it's wrong for you don't mean it. And that blew my mind. I had no idea what they was talking about, where that come from, because I've always been one that takes the Word of God literally. If God said it, it's true, and I believe it, and it ought to be obeyed. I don't argue the question, okay? But here they were coming home from school. Something had got in school. They were coming home saying that just because it's right for you don't mean it's right for me. Of course, I'm foolish in that I didn't know we get a vote. We take God's word, then it's God's word. But Satan's trying to get us to realize if we can become God, if we can, all of us are gods, then we get to decide what's right and wrong. Have you ever known of a culture or read about a culture anymore here in America? Have you ever read about such as what we're experiencing today? Things that once was evil are now considered good. And a lot of what God calls sin is now described as good. Do you realize the large majority of people who believe, let me see, the question espoused was, do you believe living together before you're getting married is a good thing? Okay? A large percentage of the youth and many of the baby boomer generation are also agreeing that that's a good thing. Living together before you get married to find out if you're compatible and all of that kind of stuff. The only people who believed the Bible way in large numbers was people our age. That's in America right now today. And it's affecting our families and even people within the church. Ron was telling me about a couple. He and Phil DeLorme had spent a day together visiting in behalf of Wapakoneta Baptist Church, and they came into a home, and there was a grandmother and a mother and two teenagers in the room while they were visiting, okay? These teenagers was all over each other on the couch in front of Mama and Grandmama and in front of the witnesses, okay, in front of Ron and Phil. Finally, Phil got up and confronted them. He went over and asked the girl, he says, let me see your hand. And she stuck her hand out. No, let me see the other. And she stuck her hand out. He says, you have no ring. You're not in right. You have no right to even do the things that you're doing right here. He got rather pointed about it, but I'm praising God. I'm agreeing somebody needed to confront those young people. I mean, right in front of mother and grandmother, and neither of the ladies said anything about it, all right? We're living in that kind of culture. And young people today are convinced. I mean, we have a granddaughter in that situation. They're convinced that the only way to know if you ought to get married is to live together for a while. Sad truth is, we have found out that doesn't help you know, because without a covenant of marriage, without a lifetime commitment to one another, You're always keeping each other at a kind of a distance. As one man said, you're leaving the back door open so you can run if you need to. I mean, that kind of thing. My wife and I, when we got married, made a covenant that divorce would never be a discussion among us. It would never come up. We gave ourselves to each other for life. And it's been a good journey. But what I'm trying to say, Satan's trying to tell us that you can decide what's good for yourself. You don't have to. That's what he's trying to say. Their eyes were open so that they could determine what is good and evil. And the thing they're not recognizing is that God wanted to demonstrate and teach them through daily relationships what is good. God wanted us to know what was good. He did not hide that from us. But what God did in making the restrictions he did in Scripture is to try to protect us from experiencing the evil. He wanted us to take his word for it, that it is evil, and not have to experience it the hard way. Now, as the young people respond, some of them are now already separated, trying it with somebody else, trying to find the person that they ought to get married. The only problem is there's kids coming along in this process, and so the process is even complicated all the more. We don't have the right to decide what is good. We're not gods. Only God, in his mercy, has tried to prevent us from experiencing the evil, experiencing sin. God wanted us to just take his word at it so that we would not be hurt or destroyed in the process of our sinning. But then I saw two others as I was working with this process. Man tries to hide his sin from God. Did you recognize three references, three verses deal with the fact? One, they sowed fig leaves together, and in verse 8, they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And then he describes in verse 9, I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. The Bible is making clear to us that our response has been to hide, and that's exactly what Satan's lie is. You can hide from God and not be in trouble with him. You can keep God from knowing what's going on. I've got to look up a verse because I've been quoting part of it to myself. In Isaiah's prophecy, there is a reference, and again, I'll have to look it up so I can give it to you, that God watches over us both for the good and for the bad. And so each day, several times, I've been reminding myself, God is watching, whether good or bad. God is watching. I've used that illustration in an indirect way when I talk about the fact that we tell the little kids in preschool, God's watching you. Be careful what you do. God's watching. God sees. But we don't really believe that. I mean, the way we act as adults, we act as though you can hide it from God. If you don't talk about it, your neighbors don't find out, God's not going to find out. I'm still laughing about an experience I had some years ago when I visited it in a woman's house. No, that one was where she was trying to clean house before she let me in, so I don't know what she was hiding. But I went into a man's room, and he was sitting at the table. He had not recognized the bottle of beer that was sitting on the table. And all of a sudden, he realized that I was the preacher, and he moves over like this on the table trying to hide that bottle of beer with his shoulder and arm. And I got the feeling there's a lot of people like him that really don't think God knows unless the preacher sees it and tells him. And stop and think about it. Why do people act differently when the preacher is visiting than with anyone else? Many times it's because they're afraid I'll tattle and God will find out what they're up to. We don't even recognize that God's already seen. For that matter, the Bible says God knows what's in our thoughts before we form them into words. God knows what we're thinking, what our motivation and so forth is, why we're doing what we're doing. God already knows that. And He saw everything we've done. He heard everything we've said. I mean, we need to keep reminding ourselves, I believe, and that's why I'm doing it to myself. God is watching. Holy God is watching, I say to myself, whether good or bad. And I was recognizing this afternoon as I was thinking it again, I need to look that verse up and actually quote the verse rather than what I have been doing myself. But remind yourself that you cannot hide your sin from God. He's already seen it. Now, the one that God gave me tonight is not only do we try to hide our sins, we believe, or Satan's trying to tell us, that we can fix our sins. We can fix our sins. That's what the fig leaves were about. They wanted to cover up their nakedness. That's what they felt guilty about suddenly when they begin to recognize what is good and what is bad. They tried to cover up their sins themselves, not only to hide from God, but to actually make themselves okay. There was a pastor in our town that got upset with me because she raised a question and I told her what I believe about her kind of conduct. She was pastor of a local church. She had had 4 marriages and was living with a man she was not married to, and she was pastor of a church. Several of us got upset about it. She was supposed to be a part of our prayer group as we were praying for revival in Jackson Center. One day she pops in when several of us are around the table having breakfast together on Saturday morning as we started out our prayer time. She come in all excited. Everything's okay now. I married the man. Well, it wasn't okay by a long shot. She didn't understand the sins that had been involved all along. And please, in divorce, the real sin that Jesus deals with is adultery. And that she had committed, well, like the woman that Jesus talked about who'd had 5 husbands and the one she was living with, she's not married to, this was number 5 for her. But what I'm realizing is she had no concept of the idea if you divorce somebody and marry another, you're committing adultery. And she didn't even deal with the issue of adultery. But she thought now that they were married, everything was fixed. The reason I share that is just recently, visiting a woman in the hospital who professes to be a Christian and claims the man she's been seeing, claims that he's a Christian, sent word to me that she's going to get a divorce. That doesn't fix her problem. It only adds to it. That's another problem that has to be fixed for her to be right in a relationship with the Lord. You follow me? She claims to be a Christian, but she's unhappy with her husband. She's already picked out somebody else. I ask an old preacher, he's a good Christian. She says, he doesn't use drugs. He doesn't smoke. He doesn't cuss. He's gentle and loving to me. He treats me like a queen. He's a good Christian. Had no concept of repenting of sin and being saved according to how the Bible describes. He doesn't even go to church, but he's a good Christian, okay? Well, what I'm wanting you to understand, the Satan's lies are still being used in our day, and men are still trying, men and women, still trying to fix their sins their own way. trying to make themselves right with God. All of us need to try to be right with God. And please understand, those of you I've shared with you before, if you've had any sin history in your life and you've been forgiven in the eyes of God, you're not guilty, okay? You're forgiven. You're clean. So trust God and move forward in the relationship with the Lord. All of us have had to repent of some kind of sin, okay? What I want you to recognize is Satan's lying to us about many of these. And many of our world is believing Satan's lies. Amen? You can't fix it yourself. You can't hide it from God. You're not a God, so you can't decide what's right and wrong for yourself. You've got to take God's word for it. Because the Bible is good. It's the very words of God. And God is good and loving always. Amen. Praise God for what we have in His Word and in Christ Jesus. There's another couple of ideas I'm dealing with, but that hasn't been fleshed out. I'm afraid if I keep reading, I'll see some more lies in it, but I think I've given you a fair covering of what Satan's trying to do in deceiving us. Let's pray together. Holy Father, help us to think through what the Bible really does say so that we, as you've told us to do, can give an answer for the faith that is in us to those who question us. Holy Father, more than any other time that I know about or read about in history, this world needs to have answers about God and His Word. Help us, Holy Father, to prepare ourselves for such conversations so that we can explain why we believe what we believe and what God says about it. If people do not trust Christ as their Lord and Savior, if they don't believe what the Word of God testifies concerning Him and Christ, if they do not trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they're going to hell without a hope. And many in our culture believe that's not so, and they need to hear the difference. It's in Christ's name we pray it, and amen.